Gary, Tiggy said, what about the others?
Yeah, you should just stick your face in there and pull my muffins out of the oven before they... Oh, shoot. The others.
He stepped away from Kevin.
Thank you for reminding me, kitten. I lost my head there for a moment.
But what about my muffins?
I'm still angry with you,
Gary said, tossing his mane like a goddamn diva.
And I shall not forgive you, no matter how enticing I find you and how much you make my thighs quiver. You are on my shit list. In fact, you are covered in my shit list. You are a pile of shit on a list that I own.
I could have done without that description. I said to no one in particular.
Don't think I've forgotten about you,
Gary said, eyes blazing.
But we cried together,
I sputtered. That's how we know everything is okay.
Okay,
he sounded outraged.
You disappeared and took my ex-husband, who I was separated from but was considering a trial reconciliation with. How in the world is any of that okay?
We hugged, though.
Yes, we did, and you're welcome for that.
You must have really enjoyed being so close to me.
But just because we hugged doesn't mean I have decided whether or not to skin your flesh from your bones as of yet and wear it as a Sam suit to frighten all the children away.
So grab it.
Indeed.
I get to wear your face,
Tiki said, kissing my forehead.
Sam mask.
You would look so cool wearing my face, I assured him. And what others? Is it Ryan and Justin? I gulped audibly. Aren't, they with you?
They're coming along shortly. Ryan woke us all up in the middle of the night saying he had a dream you were back in Camp Halfheart, and that he thought it was real, so Tiki and I took off running, leaving them behind because we get to have the first We Hate You reunion. And yes, that was capitalized, because it's motherfucking true. Since we are your oldest and dearest friends, Ryan and Justin remain behind, yelling after us for some reason I didn't have time to think about.
I cocked my head at him. Maybe because you left them behind?
Oh. Right. Yeah, how about that? I guess I was just too much in a hurry to get here and yell at you because I hate you.
You don't hate me.
Little bit.
Where were you anyways? I was told that you were on a mission. His eyes narrowed.
Who told you that?
Katja and Brandt?
Ah, yes,
Gary said.
Those two. Obvious ancillary characters who serve no real purpose other than to reintroduce a dashing hero and will probably never be mentioned again.
Probably. I agreed. But they were nice people, and thank you for the dashing hero comment. I concur completely.
It was a figure of speech that doesn't necessarily describe my feelings for you, you strange whore. And yes, they're the nicest. How did you meet them? They were supposed to be infiltrating a dark post.
We found them in the forest cornered by Caleb and some other darks. I rescued them and...
Did you murder his entire existence?
Gary demanded. I shrugged. No. I used him to send Mirren a message that I was back and badass and stuff. Did the soul magic thing that was really impressive. If I do say so myself.
Well, not the direction I would have gone, but okay. I'll allow it.
Also, I wore my hood while kicking their collective asses and didn't reveal my identity until the end.
You bitch. How dare you try to upstage me with theatrics? I hate you.
I grinned at him, face feeling a little tight. Dude, I love you.
Obviously, I'm the light of your life, as I should be.
He paused. Then shook his head.
Just don't. Ever again. You understand me?
We can't. He coughed and looked away.
We can't be without you. Not that I need you or anything. I'm a strong, independent unicorn who don't need no mans. And I will not take your shit. Is that clear?
Crystal.
Good. Okay. All is forgiven.
I blinked. Really? That... Huh. That was easier than I thought. His nostrils flared dangerously.
Would you like me to rethink that decision?
Nope, I said hastily. I'm totally in agreement.
Hooray!
Kevin said.
I've never felt more jubilant than I do right now.
Not you,
Gary snarled, whirling back on the dragon.
You are still going to face my wrath when you least expect it.
You forgive Sam.
Of course I didn't. I just said that to lull him into a false sense of security so that one day, when I come for him, he won't be expecting me. I mean, yes! Yes, I did forgive him. He's my best friend, and I love him so.
His eyes shifted side to side, shiftily. Oh, no. I whispered. My life is over. He smiled sweetly.
The moment you step foot back into Camp Halfheart.
Should have waited for Justin and Night Delicious Face.
Not at all. They have legs. We're not their bitches. They want to see Sam so bad they can run here just like we did. God tell them if they didn't bring my luggage back, I will fuck their shit up.
I'm so dead. Camp Halfheart was awake and moving when we walked out the destroyed barn door, a crowd having gathered but quickly dispersing, like they wanted us to think that they hadn't been listening in on every word. Mom and Dad were waiting for us on the porch, Vedoma seated next to them, her pipe between her lips. My parents looked relieved as we all walked out, side by side, as if they expected missing limbs and kicked in teeth, which, to be fair, I had expected too. Mom said something I couldn't make out to Vedoma, but whatever it was, Vedoma just shook her head. Mom sighed and pulled my father to fall in step beside us.
Josh, Pop,
Tiki said, picking up my father and setting him on his shoulder.
Hi, I miss you. My broom's okay.
You don't have to carry me,
Dad grumbled.
What if all the knights see?
Tiki made to set him down, but Dad wasn't fooling anyone when he pushed Tiki's hand away.
Your brooms are all accounted for.
Good, Josh Pop,
Tiki crooned. Mom was petting Gary's mane. Did you give him the old what for?
He was crying and everything,
Gary said haughtily.
It was so embarrassing for him. It's not just dripping from his nose.
Hey, you cried too. Remember that whole bukkake thing? Gary stared at me.
Sam, how dare you speak like that in front of your dear sweet mother? Honestly, Rosemary, I don't know where he gets these things from. Obviously, too much time was spent in the forest. I will correct that immediately. You can count on that.
Stupid fucking best friends, I muttered. I love you so goddamn much.
Good,
Mom said to Gary. And Kevin?
The bakery is closed for the foreseeable future,
Kevin said mournfully.
I can't even get any biscotti.
Oh. Mom, Dad, Tiki, and I all said at the same time.
The mission?
Dad asked.
Unfortunately, partially successful, Gary grumbled. But I told you that there would be nothing but a pain in my ass. There was a reason I didn't ask them for anything to begin with. I don't like them much.
But if they can help you find your horn, then don't you think it's worth it?
Mom asked, pressing a kiss to the side of his head.
You say that now.
Your horn? I demanded. You found it? Who's coming here? What can they do? Why am I yelling?
No,
Gary said.
We haven't found it yet. There's no point.
Of course there is, Mom said quietly. And don't try to convince us otherwise. If there is to be any hope, then we need you to find it. You know that. Everything counts now.
Gary sighed. I know. Why isn't anyone telling me what's going on?
Like you told us when you were leaving? Dad asked.
Boom. Boom,
Tiki said, offering my dad a fist bump, which he gladly accepted.
Ugh, you guys suck. I'm a wizard. You don't get to- A princess,
Gary coughed. I grinned smugly at him.
Not anymore, dude.
So bite me.
Gary screeched to a halt.
Say what?
No longer can you interject apprentice into conversation with a ridiculous pseudo-cough. I am full-on, hardcore, wizard now.
Whoa! For true?
For true, my height advantage friend. Gary was immediately in my space again, nostrils flaring as he pressed his nose against mine. I went a little cross-eyed, trying to focus on him.
Huh?
He panted heavily. Hi?
You're not an apprentice anymore?
No.
Big-time wizard.
Yep.
Not Sam of Wilds.
Nope.
Sam of...
Dragons.
Hmm. That's sexy.
Thank you.
I might be attracted to you. You might want to keep checking your mail.
For... His mouth pressed against my chin.
For your invitation to the grand reopening celebration of my bakery.
I shoved his face away as he cackled. I will not go to your grand reopening celebration, you foul beast.
Where is my invitation?
Kevin asked.
Got lost, Gary said breezily. How sad. Moving on.
What? Damn, Melman. I shall see him between my teeth.
Well, you should have thought of that before you chased this hot piece of ass into the forest. Speaking of, Sam, have I ever told you that I can open my mouth really, really wide? It's almost like I can unhinge my jaw. And I don't have a gag reflex.
He doesn't.
Kevin said sadly, wings drooping.
It's one of the things that I like about him, other than his heart.
Don't you dare try and make me swoon, Kevin. Shit list. You are covered in it.
Worst reunion ever. There was yet another gathering at the gates, and I wondered if these people had nothing better to do all day than gawk. Didn't help that I was unsure how Ryan and Justin would react. I told myself to be ready in case they walked up to the gates, hand in hand. Staring deeply into each other's eyes, laughing at inside jokes only they got. I'd be the spurned wife left holding a child on each hip, looking at Ryan and Justin and all their happiness. My heart would shrivel in bitterness, and I'd begin to spiral into madness. The children would be taken away from me, and Ryan and Justin would raise them. Eventually, 6 years down the road, I will be caught up in a spiderweb of lies and deceit, standing over Justin's body after he had been poisoned, eating pumpkin soup, sobbing, and asking if Ryan was happy now, that he made me do this. He made me kill my best friend, Five Ever. And, well, I'm slightly psychotic.
That's not a revelation. I expected at this juncture. What was that?
Gary asked.
Oh, nothing. Just making plans to make sure Ryan loves me forever.
Creepy,
Tiki whispered.
That's what happens when you become a wizard, Gary explained patiently. Sam is no longer adorable. He has bushy eyebrows and...
I forgot to pluck, I wailed, covering my face. How could you let me out into public looking like this?
I thought we were just ignoring it in hopes that it just went away.
Okay. New idea. I run, and Ryan and Justin live happily ever after with my babies.
Nice try,
Gary said, pushing my back with his head, forcing me through the crowd.
Do you know how long I've waited to witness this?
Don't you dare say 11.
11 months! You won't deprive me of drama when it is so readily available. It has been absolutely dreadful without your carriage wreck of a life. Who do you think feeds my needs for the dramatics? Tiki?
I ain't no cheap trick,
Tiki said, much to my consternation.
I taught him that,
Gary said proudly. Great. Fantastic. Glad to be of help.
You shut your bitch mouth,
Gary snarled. Then he blinked.
Yikes. Sorry about that. Apparently I'm still slightly angry with you. Strange how that works. You do something without me and then come back like it was nothing.
You don't need to... But then Gary pushed me into someone. Before I could apologize for Gary's ridiculous behavior, I saw who I had stumbled against. She turned to scowl at me, holding her head high.
Of course it was you.
Lady Tina, I said. How unfortunate that you didn't pass behind the veil overnight. I expected more from you.
Sorry to disappoint.
She said primly, the foxy lady brigade standing at attention behind her, facing the gates.
I was too busy protecting what remains of the proud country of Varenya. Yes,
Gary hissed.
This is what I've missed. Cut each other with semi-thought-out barbs? Fight to the death?
We stared at him. He didn't even have the decency to look chagrined. I loved him even more for it. I didn't know what that said about me.
Why are you even here?
I asked. She stiffened. In case you missed it yesterday, I am in charge here, under Knight Commander Foxart and Prince Justin. While they were absent, Camp Halfheart was left in my capable hands.
Uh-oh,
Gary whispered.
Well, that will be something that will need to be addressed once they return.
In fact, I do believe you shall be banished. In fact, why don't you go pack up your belongings now, so we don't have to delay the inevitable.
The crowd began to whisper furiously around me. Lady Tina's eyes narrowed. I think you'll find yourself outvoted in that regard. I've more than proven myself to those that matter.
Oh, girl, Gary whispered. You should not have said that, girl.
Really? I said coldly.
You tried to turn the people of Urania against me. You played a part in the death of Morgan of Shadows. You nearly got Ryan Foxart killed.
Randall is missing. I was forced into the dark woods to seek out a way to finish this once and for all. Tell me, how exactly have you proven yourself to those that matter when I wasn't here?
For a moment.
She looked slightly fearful, and I thought I'd won. But somehow she found the strength to shore herself up against my vindictiveness. She stood tall. And if she were anyone else, I might have been impressed.
I accept my actions for what they were,
she said, voice even. I made mistakes. But like before, you place blame on others without accepting any for yourself. What about your actions, Sam? What about everything you did, which led to where we stand now? I was giving serious consideration to turning her whole body into so much running pus. But before I could, something in me shifted. A void in my head and heart feeling like it hadn't in a long time. My magic began to sing, and I had to close my eyes against the onslaught of it all. It was more than I remembered, but then I was a different person now.
And I knew what it meant.
Lady Tina was forgotten. Gary and Tiggy and Kevin were forgotten. My parents were forgotten. The crowd around us. Undoubtedly already spreading rumors. Didn't seem to matter anymore. All I cared about was that my cornerstone was near. Even when we were children, and he was a teenage douchebag, I had turned to stone. There had been a connection between us. I truly believed it was because of him my magic manifested the way it had. Randall had once said we were woven together more tightly than even he expected. And I didn't know if I'd ever heard him speak more of the truth. I remember the way his hand had felt in mine. When we danced that night at the ball, the king and throne. When he promoted Ryan to Knight Commander. Oh, God. The way Ryan had looked at me as we danced those three waltzes. Like I was the only person in the world. Had made my skin itch and heart hurt. He loved me even then. And I didn't know. I thought he was out of my reach. And then I'd been at his side, facing the darks. And the cruel twist of fate revealed itself when my magic sang for the first time in a way I could recognize as home. He was my home. And he belonged to another. He stood upon a keep. Far from everything I'd known, and wished for nothing more than me. But wishes spoken aloud never come true. Everyone knew that, so I let him go. But we were tied together, the both of us. Randall had been right about that. Something about us was always meant to be. And the void was filling, and I thought there was a chance I could do anything asked of me if only he could be at my side. Once upon a time, I sat alone in a desert under a night sky and made a wish, one that I've never told anyone because I wanted it to come true. Make me mortal. When all is said and done, I will protect my king, this one and the next. I will protect my kingdom. I will do all that you ask. But I want a mortal life for my happy ending. This is my wish. I needed to hope he already had in hand Justin's babies. Because I would hate to have to steal some children's father away from them. I'd feel real bad about it for at least a week, and no one wanted that. I started to push my way through the crowd, but they offered no resistance. They parted, as if they too had been waiting for this exact moment. When I reached the open gate, I saw something unexpected. I stopped and breathed. I've had sex dreams that started just like this. Because a big fat ray of sun had burst through the clouds and was shining upon Ryan Foxhart, who was galloping toward me atop a steed, its white mane billowing majestically. He wore his knight commander armor, which looked as if it had been spotlessly scrubbed, cuts of red rock embedded into the silver metal. His sword was drawn, and as I watched, he flourished it almost as if he were in slow motion, his wavy hair jostling about his head, green eyes bright. He looked like every fantasy I'd ever had, and it was imperative that I fuck him senselessly into the nearest surface, not caring if we had an audience or not. Even the fact that my parents were there wouldn't stop me. I was going to destroy him. He was going to be covered in my spunk, so much so that it was going to make Gary's glazed donuts seem like work done by an amateur. Yeah, I muttered, not caring who could hear me. You ride that steed toward me, you dirty motherfucker. You're not going to be able to walk for a week by the time I'm done with... And that's when I saw the horse upon which he rode was not actually a horse at all. It looked suspiciously like my best friend standing next to me, aside from the fact that it had a large, shimmering horn atop its head, which killed any and all sexy thoughts. Mostly. Because, what?
What a fucking show-off,
Gary muttered, coming up beside me.
Did he really think that he could get away with that? So racist.
Who? I asked, unsure of what the hell was going on. Ryan? Gary rolled his eyes.
Not Ryan. Terry.
Terry?
Yes, Terry.
Terry.
Why are you repeating his name? Do you really hate me that much?
I don't... Wait. Terry. As in, your twin brother Terry. Gary squinted at me.
So you got stupid in the woods, huh? That's unfortunate.
Your twin brother is here.
You don't have to keep reminding me. I was against this.
But Ryan and Justin thought we needed him. I have no idea what's even happening right now. Gary sighed.
Maybe if you would stop drooling over your boyfriend riding my brother, you'd be able to figure it out.
Oh my God, phrasing. You can't just say it like that.
It's literally what is happening. Ryan is strelling my brother, thighs wrapped around his middle while he rocks back and forth. Oh, look! There's the prince.
Grand Prince Justin of Varenya was walking toward the gates, still a distance away behind Ryan and Terry. He didn't look too pleased, as he appeared to be carrying... quite a few bags.
Oh, thank God he remembered my scarves. I would have hated to see his blood spilled underneath my hooves.
Your brother, I insisted.
Yeah,
Gary sighed.
My brother.
Gary and his family, well, they didn't exactly have the most loving relationship. Oh, sure. I knew they cared about each other, and Gary didn't exactly have a terrible childhood, but things were strained between them. The last I'd heard, his mom and dad had been off on some swingers tour that had apparently lasted for at least 3 years, where they would tour the world and apparently partner swap with other magical creatures at large orgies. That sounded amazing, in theory. Taste the rainbow. But disgusting in actuality, it tasted nothing like rainbows. And even though Gary and I had been friends for years, I'd yet to meet any of his family. They sent letters every now and then that always seemed to be dusted with copious amounts of glitter, and Gary and Tiggy went to see them once years ago, with Morgan refusing to let me go with them, saying that a 17-year-old me did not need to be surrounded by 3 unicorns. Something about potentially triggering an apocalypse or whatever. I'd made Gary promise to bring me a souvenir. He told me to go fuck myself, and then he'd brought me back a t-shirt that said, "I'm not gay, but my girlfriend is." It had confounded me greatly. Terry, on the other hand, was more of a mystery. From what I gathered and the little pieces Gary had dropped every now and then, their relationship was contentious. Gary had said once that he wished he'd consumed Terry while they were still in the womb to save him from having to deal with his existence. I'd laughed because I thought he was kidding. Looking back, I didn't think he was kidding. So the worst thing I could have said was, "Your brother looks pretty fucking majestic." Gary gasped.
You fucking con slut! How could you say that to my face?
Oh man, I am so sorry. I meant to think that, not say it out loud. Ooh, dude, my bad.
I hate you. This is the worst day of my life.
Hey, I just came back after being gone for almost a year. This is the best day of your life. Gary.
Hey, Gary. Look at me. Look how progressive I am. I'm letting a man ride on my back. Who's stuck up now, you light-footed ninny?
Light-footed ninny? I mouthed to myself. Terry came to a stop in front of the gates, panting slightly from the exertion. His chest and legs were muscular, and his tail and mane were white, thick, and wavy. His horn was much larger and thicker than I expected it to be, and had it not been for Ryan Foxhart on his back, I might have swooned a little bit, which was a very odd thought to have. Ryan dismounted with ease, armor clinking as he slid from Terry's back. I wished, more than anything else, that everyone else would leave. But they didn't, of course. They were waiting to see what was going to happen, as much as I was. Ryan looked good. Really good. He was a little thinner than he'd been, cheekbones more pronounced, and the beard he'd worn temporarily back at Castle Freezer Assoff had made a rare appearance. His blonde hair was as long as it had ever been, and he reached up to push it back off his face in a practice move that would have been stupid on anyone else, but made me want to eat him alive. There was a scar, too, on his face that hadn't been there before. It was thin and white and started on the left side and stretched toward his nose. In the scheme of things, it was minor, but it hit me then. Truly hit me that there was a history here that I wasn't privy to. Events that I wasn't a part of had occurred. Someone had hurt him. A while ago, from the looks of it. And I hadn't been there to protect him. The thought made my chest ache. "Ryan?" I croaked out. And I took a step forward to... Lady Tina beat me to him. She pushed past me, marching forward, and stood at attention in front of him as if she were one of his knights. Ryan glanced at her before looking back at me with that intense gaze of his, as if he thought there was a chance I'd disappear. "Knight Commander," Lady Tina said, a hint of a purr in her voice. "Welcome back to Camp Halfheart. I'm pleased to see the mission was successful. If you'd like, I can provide you with a detailed report of day-to-day activities that occurred in your absence." He looked a little startled at that, glancing back at her again. "I would hear it, and I'm sure it would be as comprehensive as always. But there are matters of pressing importance that I must attend to first." Lady Tina stiffened just a little. I was barely able to hold back my crow of victory, because I was the matter of pressing importance, and I was going to press him against so many things. If he let me, that is. "I understand," Lady Tina said slowly, as if she didn't understand it in the slightest. "I suppose I can give my report to Prince Justin." "Yeah," Ryan said, once again distracted by me.
"That sounds good."
"Ooh, I just can't, ooh," one of the foxy ladies breathed as the other started to titter. "I think I'm starting to quiver, you know, down there." Lady Tina glared back at them, and they fell silent immediately. She stepped aside. Ryan took a step toward me as he sheathed his sword.
"Night, Commander,"
Terry said, and I thought I would be capable of murdering the next fucking thing that interrupted us.
"Or should I call you Ryan now? I mean, we are close, after letting you on my back, after all. Ryan, Yes, I think I shall call you Ryan. Anyway, Ryan, since I am a guest of your camp, I would like
to—" "Would you shut your fat mouth?"
Gary hissed at him.
You're interrupting the reunion I've written fan fiction for. This has been almost a year in the making. I swear to the gods, Terry, if you ruin this for me, I will kick you in the fucking uvula.
Terry snorted daintily. The sparks were chartreuse.
Like you could even find my uvula. You don't even know what a uvula is.
His voice was deeper than Gary's. It was really rather dreamy for a unicorn.
Well, okay, that's true. I don't. Sounds disgusting. But I won't stop until I find it, even if that means I need to trample all over your stupid body. So help me.
In your throat,
Tiki whispered.
Dangly.
Thank you, kitten. I don't know what I'd do. And Sam is glaring at me. I wish I could say I hadn't missed that, but that would be a lie.
He looks like a frustrated crack-addicted puppy. It's so adorable. I feel the need to give him an intervention.
That's Sam.
Terry asked, peering over at me.
The fearsome wizard who will save us all. How underwhelming.
Terry, Ryan said, a warning clear in his voice. Leave Sam alone.
Fine,
he sighed.
You know, I would do anything for you.
Ryan looked back at me. When did you...
Just kiss already, Deidre hissed. I need to see it.
Please don't get them started,
Justin said, sounding as dry as ever. He approached the gate, looking as perfect as always, dark brown curls falling artfully around his head. He was cool and aloof, and I knew he was trying desperately to keep from throwing himself at me, sobbing that I was never to leave him again. He was good at keeping his emotions underneath the cold exterior, but I could see right through him.
They'll never stop.
And it's something I don't want to have to witness until I've worked up to it.
Gary?
Kevin whispered.
Yes, dragon who I haven't decided if I've forgiven yet.
What are your feelings on having sex with twins?
Well, I don't suppose I've given it much thought. I mean, if there were two of you... Wait a goddamn minute.
You've talked about me with your brother? I asked Gary, feeling strangely touched.
Nothing nice,
Gary said savagely.
Because you do stupid things like leave me behind. In fact, I doubt if I've ever complimented anything about you when talking to him.
No, please,
Terry said, rolling his beautiful eyes.
If I didn't know any better, I would have assumed you wanted to mount him.
I can't believe this is real, I whispered feverishly. I am so happy. Not about the mounting, of course, but everything else. Oh, and once, just once, I'd like to meet a magical creature whose name is something like Volos or Freynir.
You know a dragon named Zero Raven Moonfire, Gary pointed out. And also, your name is Sam. That's super boring. Just like everything else about you, you little fuck.
I will punch your friggin' face off, I warned him.
Come at me, bro. You mess with the bull, you're gonna get the horn,
Gary gasped.
How dare you make fun of the fact that I don't have my horn yet?
His eyes filled with tears.
As if I would ever do that to you!
We gonna cry again?
Tiki asked, bottom lip trembling.
No,
I said, throat thick. We can't cry. We don't have time to.
Yes, Gary wailed. Sam goes away for a year, and then he comes back and makes fun of me.
You made fun of my eyebrows.
Because they're hideous. What did you expect me to do?
That's just mean. Okay, time out. Gary and Tiki's tears dried immediately. Okay. New rule, can we agree that if one of us has to go live in the forest for an extended period of time, the others can't make fun of their appearance when they return? I mean, it's not like there's a lot of facilities in order to maintain our beautiful selves at the level we're used to.
That's true. And also, it's not as if you necessarily have control of how you look. It's like making fun of someone who is bald. Why would you do that? It's not fair, because they can't control their hair loss.
Just like all people.
Okay. We agree we can't make fun of the way another looks after they go into the dark woods for a long time and come back out with unruly eyebrows.
And oily-looking skin. And rambunctious nose hairs. And...
Thank you, Gary, I said, through gritted teeth. Those things, and we also can't make fun of balding people. Because that's just mean. Agreed?
Aye.
Tiki and Gary said. The eyes have it, then. Rule number 1847 of the Sam Gary Tiki friendship has been
everyone leave.
Ryan Foxhart barked, sending shivers through me. This was the night commander I knew.
anyone bothers Sam or myself for the next hour, there will be consequences." The crowd didn't even hesitate as they dispersed, Gary and Tiggy immediately stopping their tears as they glanced between Ryan and me.
"What's happening?"
Tiggy whispered to Gary.
"Someone's butt is gonna get reamed.
Good way or bad way?
Could be both, kitten. Could be both. Now come on, you can help me ignore Kevin and also try and ditch my brother. We'll pretend we have an important meeting to attend to. But, in actuality, the time will be spent with you telling me how pretty I am while feeding me freshly peeled grapes. And when I say peeled, I mean peeled. A plague upon your head if there's any skin left. You understand?"
"I like my brooms."
"Yes, yes, I know, you gigantic weirdo whom I love desperately."
I didn't see them leave,
as I only had eyes for Ryan Foxhart, my stomach flip-flopping nervously.
"Are you sure?"
Terry asked Ryan in a low voice.
"I can stay here with you, if you think you'll need me."
"I won't," Ryan said.
"Well then," Terry said stiffly, "if you want to put it that way, I forgive you, though. I know the strain you're under must be extraordinary. I'll be here when you're done."
And then there were only three of us. Justin, Ryan, and me. The prince looked between Ryan and me before he rolled his eyes.
"Gods, you two are the worst. You have an hour. We have many things to discuss now that Sam has finally returned. Not a minute more. If I have to send someone to find you both, there will be trouble. This may not be a Varenya I recognize anymore, but I am still the God's damn prince, and until I get my father back, I act in his stead."
And that, shit, that was something I hadn't given much thought to. Sure, I had felt sick at the idea of Mirren imprisoning the king, and was planning on at least 47 different ways to have my revenge, but I hadn't put myself in Justin's shoes. I had lost much, but in my absence, the country Justin knew had changed, and his father had been taken from him. That rested upon my shoulders. If I'd stayed, things might have been different. And that rested upon my shoulders. If I'd stayed, things might have been different. But Justin's father had been taken, not just the king. I can only imagine how I'd feel if Mirren had my dad. "I'm sorry," I tried to tell him as he walked by, an annoyed look on his face, as he dropped all of Gary's luggage.
"I didn't mean..." "Sam,"
he stopped beside me, shoulder to shoulder.
"Don't."
I nodded, because he was right. He didn't want to hear an apology from me. I didn't blame him for being angry with me. He sighed loudly like I was an idiot, which, to be fair, was probably true. And then he did something I didn't expect. He pulled me into a hug. As far as hugs go, it wasn't great. His arm was bulky and poked at my chest and stomach. He felt stiff, and it was awkward. But the fact that he initiated it after everything I'd done meant more to me than I could put into words. "I'm glad you're home," he whispered in my ear. "And I will kill you if you tell anyone I said that. I mean it, Sam. I will chop off your head myself. But I'm glad. Even if your inane prattling makes me want to stab my own eardrums, it hasn't been the same without you."
"We'll get him back,"
I said, voice muffled against his shoulder.
"I promise I'll do everything to get him back. I promise."
He tensed a little at that, but didn't pull away. "I know," he said, voice tight. "And I don't blame you for this. I know you must think I do, and no matter what I say, you won't believe me. But it's true. This is on Mirren, and no one else." I didn't say anything, because I didn't think I had anything left to say. "And go easy on Ryan, okay? He's just... let him say what he needs to. It'll be all right, in the end." He pulled away after that, the stoic mask of the prince once again on his face. He glanced back at Ryan.
1 hour. I mean it. Don't test me.
And then he was gone. Above us, the guards of Camp Havhart moved along the walkways, the wood shifting and groaning. They were talking over loud, as if they thought it'd give Ryan a some privacy.
I didn't think it worked as much as they thought it would.
Ryan must not have thought so either, because one moment he was staring at me with a strange look on his face, and the next he squawked toward me, scowling. He grabbed me, roughly by the arm, ignoring my squawk as he pulled me behind him.
Hey, maybe buy me dinner first before you manhandle me, you big...
The glare he shot over his shoulder was not to be trifled with. So I shut my mouth, and let myself be led to my doom. Gods. I really hated my doom.
Chapter 5. Wherein Night Delicious Face kicks some ass.
He didn't speak as he led me through Camp Havhart, his grip on my arm never loosening. If anything, it tightened, and I was sure I would have bruises there later. The idea of it sent a sick thrill down my spine, which proved, once and for all, that I was a little fucked in the head. For all I knew, this was going to be the only touch I'd ever get from him again. People stared openly at us as we passed them by, the knights hooting and hollering as if they thought we were on our way to a good dicking, the Foxy Lady Brigade flushing hotly and leering in ways unbecoming of a group of assassins, and Gary making the sign of the cross with his hoof for the reasons I didn't quite understand. I thought about asking Ryan to maybe slow down a little, as the strides were much larger than mine, but I couldn't find my voice. He led me to the house he and Justin shared. I wanted to jerk my arm back and run in the opposite direction. What if we got inside there, and there was evidence of their newly rediscovered love all throughout their house, like his and his monogram bath towels hanging in the bathroom, or like his and his monogram dildos on the kitchen table from a rigorous bout of sticking in me before they left on their mission, still glistening with lube, their semen dried, and a flaky crust on the floor? I didn't know if I could survive his and his monogram dildos on kitchen tables with lube and jizz stains. My heart would break cleanly in two. While I was focused on the dildos, how big they would be, would they have rhinestones on them? Would they vibrate? Ryan shoved the door open, pulled me inside sharply, and slammed up behind us before leaning against it and staring at me. He dropped my arm and waited. Since I wasn't sure what to do next, I took in my surroundings. The house was perfunctory. It was sparsely furnished. And didn't look like the love den of a couple who had just rekindled their feelings for each other and felt the need to bone in every room possible. But, for all I knew, Justin was weird and only liked to have sex in a bedroom. If that was the case, I felt bad for Ryan, who liked hand jobs in hallway closets. My review of the room took all of 5 seconds, even though I had hoped it would take a few hours. I wasn't sure what to do, so I did what I did best. I fidgeted awkwardly, catching Ryan's gaze before looking away. The silence stretched on for an unbearable minute. Each conversation opener I could come up with sounding as ridiculous as the last. Hi, you look swell. It's great to see you again. Sorry about the whole disappearing act and the fall of Arania, though it's my bad. Do you want to skip the whole grr, I'm angry thing and go straight to the makeup sex? Did you think of me at all? Because I thought of you. Every day, the first thing and the last. I think I always will. Instead, I finally broke the silence and said, I'm sorry about my I've been in the forest eyebrows. And then winced because, of course, this was my life. He snorted and shook his head like he found me amusing but was trying desperately not to. You capitalized that, didn't you? I shrugged. Yeah. That means it's true now. Is that right? You know how it is. Do I? He asked. And I heard the anger in his voice. Maybe I don't know anymore. Maybe none of us do. That hurt. It was expected, but still, I didn't blame him. I couldn't. That's fair. I said as evenly as possible, because I could take the punches just as long as we came out on the other side still standing. He started taking his armor off, piece by piece, the metal clinging loudly in the quiet room. Fair, he repeated. So glad you think so. Okay, I said, wringing my hands. You're mad. I get that. And I respect your right to have that anger. You've earned it. So, thank you for sharing it with me. I will accept it as part of who you are right now and will do nothing to minimize the way that you're feeling. I was proud of myself for being so mature and responsible. Oh, I'm not mad, Sam. I blinked. You're not? No. Oh, awesome. Maybe we could just...
I'm furious.
Uh-oh.
What were you thinking?
His gauntlets fell to the floor. He didn't look away from me.
I woke up and you were gone. Do you know what that felt like?
The last thing I remembered was Mirren and Morgan and you, and then I was waking in the healing ward of the castle to a letter from you saying you were leaving to do what you had to do.
Morgan dead. Randall missing.
I winced. I didn't want to leave. I just couldn't-
Then you didn't have to!
He retorted. I didn't know if I'd ever seen him so angry.
I'm not magic like you, Sam. I don't have the whole... whatever it is flowing through me like you. But do you know what it felt like to be cut off from you? I didn't even know I could feel like that. As if part of my heart had been ripped away. I'm your cornerstone. And you left me behind like I didn't matter.
It's not like that. I wasn't trying to
look for you. Okay? For weeks. And there was nothing. Gary was devastated. Tiggy unconsolable. The king was without an advisor.
And Justin didn't have his best friend.
I knew we were best friends.
And don't even get me started on your parents.
You ran away just like you did when we left for Mashal Ahal. When things got too tough, you ran.
And even though I fought it, I couldn't hold back my own irritation. That's what you think? You think I'm a coward? He was only wearing his wool undergarments now, looking flushed and ridiculous and terribly attractive. And I was pissed off.
I didn't say that. You did.
You implied it.
Take from it what you will.
I wanted to punch him in his perfect mouth. You want to know why I left?
I know why. Come away with me, oh human child, I spat at him. In this forest deep, in the dark of the wild, where in these woods you'll face your fear as time doth stretch toward a year.
Ryan's face was stony.
It's the stupidest thing ever.
GW is so old... he thinks he can get away with it.
Newsflash, he can't.
But does he listen to me about that?
No, of course not. I'm the oldest thing in the world, Sam. I can do whatever I want, Sam. You have to do whatever I say, Sam. Because I'm a fucking asshole.
I scowled. You know, I'm really fucking sick of dragons. I wouldn't be sad if they flew away and never returned. After we save the day, of course. If they left now, that would kind of suck because of the whole supervillain destiny thing.
Because, of course, you call him GW, he muttered,
scrubbing his hand over his face. Said he only essentially created the world. So why not give him a nickname? Please. He liked it, even though he vehemently denied it and threatened me with a fiery death if I continued to call him that.
It's good to see that your self-preservation is still remarkably intact.
Why, thank you. Hey.
The poem?
He asked, crossing his arms and leaning back against the door. I tried desperately not to stare at the outline of his junk through his undergarments because we were being serious right now. But it was obvious he wasn't wearing anything underneath him, and I didn't think I could be blamed for cursing Ryan Foxhart in my head for posing so provocatively, especially since this was the closest I'd been to him in a long time. I wiped the drool from my chin and said,
"Burg,
do me."
He arched an eyebrow. "Come again?"
"Yes, please. I mean, what?"
The poem, Sam. The one the dragon told you? And then you decided he was full of crap, and you could save the world without him. And then for some reason changed your mind at the absolute worst possible moment?
Yeah, he was pissed. All right. Okay, so back up. Are you mad at me because I didn't go with him the first time, or mad I went with him the second time? Because I can't quite figure out what...
All of it. I'm angry because of everything.
Oh, well, that's all-encompassing.
Sam, he growled.
Yes?
You asshole.
Hey, watch your mouth.
You need to think of the children. Fuck the children, he bellowed. Whoa. That escalated quickly.
Ryan began to pace.
He told you to come with him. You told him no. And then everything went to hell and you went. What the fuck, Sam? What changed?
I didn't want to leave you,
I said weakly. Not with... She was sure as hell didn't seem to have a problem with that after I'd been stabbed.
He retorted. I flinched, taking a step back.
Yeah, right. No problem whatsoever. That's exactly right. It didn't tear me in half at all. Good thing you know me so well. Know you. Sam, I haven't seen you in almost a year. I don't know who you are anymore. Before you left, I could always feel you. Like there was a strange little thread that attached me to you. I thought that's what it meant to be a cornerstone. But now it's like I'm consumed by you. And I don't know why. Things have changed. You've changed. And I don't know what that means or what happened to you while you... I'm not an apprentice anymore, I muttered, rubbing the back of my head. It's why you feel like that. He stopped pacing. Jaw dropped. What? I sighed. This wasn't how I planned to tell him. I thought it had come out better during pillow talk after the whole makeup sex fantasy I had going on in my head. Yeah. Hi. I'm Sam of Dragons now. Wizard extraordinaire. I wiggled my fingers at him. Little trails of green and gold streaking around them. Ryan said. Eyes slightly glazed as he watched my fingers. He shook his head, as if trying to dispel whatever carnal thoughts he was having. I figured it was a good sign if he still had a magic kink. Maybe it was a little manipulative, but I would take what I could get.
What about the trials?
I shrugged. I sort of... bypassed them? GW mentored Randall before the whole Mirren thing, and he did the same for me, only a little more... intensive. Randall used to be Randall of Dragons, and... I guess that's me now. GW gave me the name.
I don't...
Holy shit. Right? And I'll let that one slide. Watch it, Foxheart. Your mouth is going to lead to such a spanking. Just you wait. He rolled his eyes. How did he mentor Randall? I thought the dragons could only speak when you were around. Apparently some stupid mystical connection they had or something. I'm not too up on the details on that. It's best to not try and focus on it too much. Makes less sense the more you think about it, so I just choose not to. That's pretty much the story of your life, isn't it? Was that a joke? Can I laugh? Or are you still mad at me and we're fighting and stuff? And stuff. Why would you...
Oh, man.
Does that mean you're essentially Randall Part 2? I choked.
Oh, my gods. You did not just say that.
And you capitalized it? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Now it's true,
he yelped, eyes wide. You're Randall Part 2. Nope. I am not Randall Part 2. In fact, you know what? I am changing my name now. I'm no longer Sam of Dragons. I'm Sam of... Okay, I can't think of anything particularly awe-inspiring right now because I'm so outraged, but I will. And mark my words, when I do, it's going to blow everyone away and they'll all say, ooh, that's so cool. Look, everyone, look how cool he is with his new name, and that has nothing to do with Randall.
Sam of Dragons,
Ryan said, sounding awed. Why do you keep saying it like that? I can't believe you're... I will melt your face off, Foxheart, mark my words.
Ugh. I groaned. Ugh.
Stop finding my threats against your being attractive. We're arguing right now. You can't just be Night Delicious Face when we're arguing. You ask...
Oh, please. I'm Night Delicious Face no matter what I do. Most everyone loves it.
Right. Because most everyone has totally seen the way you drool on your pillow and wake up with crusty cheeks. You unbelievable douche. I do not. Yes, you do. In fact, sometimes I call you Night Crusty Cheeks. So, ha! Take that to your Foxy Lady Brigade and shove it. Which, by the way, you can sure as shit bet we're going to have a long talk about. Especially given how you apparently trust Lady Tina, of all people. My sworn enemy is now your second? What the fuck is wrong with all of you? I had a thought then.
Is she holding you all hostage? Is she listening in right now? Blink once for yes and twice for probably. And I'll go outside and make her die horribly.
Like all that would be left would be a pile of blood and gristle.
It would be awesome. He didn't blink.
Okay, I'm not quite sure what that meant. Tell you what, I'll just assume you're being held hostage. Let me go make her die, and we can continue this conversation sometime next decade.
Do you still love me? Goddamn him. I closed my eyes and took in a shuddering breath. That was a question I hadn't expected. Out of everything that could have happened, I thought if those words were spoken aloud, I would have been the one saying them. And definitely not in a small voice like I'd never heard from him before.
"You're my cornerstone?" I said clumsily.
That's not what I asked. I opened my eyes and looked at him. Now that we were close, I could see the dark bags under his eyes. The worry etched across his brow like it had been there a long time. He was thinner, as if the stress of the last year had weighed heavily upon him. I wondered at the scar that would be on his torso, how pronounced it would be,
if I would ever get to trace it with my tongue.
Silently thanking the gods that he still drew breath. And there was the other scar, the one on his face, partially hidden by his thick beard. I didn't think I looked any better. I hadn't yet found the strength to look in a mirror, but from what everyone else was saying, I probably didn't look too great.
When I slept in the dark woods, it was the sleep of the exhausted. From having been assaulted by magic day in and day out, the Great White forcing me into something I hadn't thought I was quite capable of. It worked, eventually, but it had taken its toll on me.
The voices of dragons and Morgan and Randall and Mirren had been whispering around me, telling me I needed to be stronger, better, that I was going to fail, that everyone I loved would die. But one thing kept me coming back to myself. One person kept me pushing forward so that one day I could stand before him again and tell him how sorry I was. And how much I loved him. I shook my head. He told me I didn't need you. Ryan took a step back, clenching his fists at his sides. I pushed on. He told me that cornerstones were weaknesses, that they would lead to nothing but ruin, that Randall had put his faith in his and was then betrayed. After Mirren, after all that he did, and after they banished him to the Realm of Shadows, Randall brought back the King of Sorrows from the brink of madness, only to succumb to his own. He went dark, Ryan. He locked himself up in Castle Frisius and went dark. He tried to fight it for so long, but he went dark and it took ages for him to come back from that. To put his own mind back together and return to the right side of magic. I looked down at my hands.
The Great White was concerned. He thought I was too young to have found my cornerstone already. That you were an obstacle to what the gods had planned for me.
Your destiny. I sighed. I really fucking hate that word.
And yet you seem to have accepted it just fine. Okay, I deserve that. Damn right you did.
The Great White.
Might as well get it all out now. He tried to convince me that a cornerstone was an illogical fallacy. That putting faith and trust and magic into one person was a mistake. Because people could be cruel or corrupted. They could follow a path of magic that leads to shadows, or they could die. Because no matter what happens, a cornerstone will die. You don't have the magic I do. Either you will fall in battle, or your body will be ravaged by sickness.
And even if none of that happens, eventually time will catch up with you. It was better, he said, to only trust myself. That sounds really stupid. I snorted. Right? I go to the woods to accept my destiny of dragons, and the Great White, the oldest living creature in the known world, tells me the secret to defeating the most evil wizard of all time is to believe in myself. I almost punched him in the eye. Why didn't you? He's super big. I couldn't reach. Like that stopped you before. What can I say? I've grown as a person. He sounded nervous when he asked. And what did you choose?
What?
Did you believe in yourself? Or did you keep your faith in me? Or can you do both? Like, believe in yourself and in me? I groaned. This is such a dumb conversation. How else am I supposed to ask that? This whole thing is mother-cracking stupid. It's like one of those after-school special plays they used to put on in the square. Remember those? They were all about learning life lessons, like not to eat mushrooms you found in the forest because you'll turn into a prostitute, or not getting pregnant while young because you'll have a baby and then turn into a prostitute. I frowned. Wow. Now that I think about it, most of those ended with people turning into prostitutes.
Would you just...
I love you, I told him. And he slumped against the door as if his knees had given out. More than anything, you're my cornerstone. And I don't care what an ancient dragon says about that, or what the gods say, or anyone. I can believe in myself and still have faith in you and what you are to me. That you'll pull me back when I need you to. I gave you my heart, Ryan, and the only way I'll take it back is if you don't want it anymore. Which I hope you won't, because I kind of want you for always. My voice broke a little as I continued. I promise you, when I was in the woods, looking up at the stars, there is nothing I wish for more than you. He bowed his head, taking in deep, raspy breaths. Why did you come back? He managed to say. Why now? I was walking on dangerous ground here. It was time. There was nothing more that GW could do for me, even though he thinks otherwise. And Zero only has a few weeks left before he goes back into hibernation. Either we do this now or we don't do it at all. His head snapped up, and though he still looked angry, his eyes were wet. I had made Night Delicious Face cry. I was the worst person in the world. You came back because Zero's time is almost up. And because of the whole love stuff, remember that part? Hopefully you do, seeing as how it was just a minute ago and all hella romantic. Like, I said I love you, dude, because of wishes, and you were all like, oh no, I'm crying a little because I may be a knight, but I'm not afraid to show my feelings.
I'm not crying, he said, a tear tracking down his cheek.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you need to tell yourself, you big ball of sap.
You're an idiot.
No argument from me there. Look, you can be mad at me all you want, but can you kiss me now? Please, I really would like it if you kiss me. And if you don't want to, that's okay. Well, it's really not, and I'll probably be emotionally devastated and have to write in my diary, I mean my grimoire, about all my feelings with snippets of emo songs written in the corners that have lyrics like, you broke my heart, would we even start to love my loving love? I mean, I know you and Justin probably have his and his monogram bejeweled dildos that you fuck each other with at the dinner table and he was kissing me. Somehow, as if by magic, he moved across the room, taking my face in his hands, and was kissing me with all his might. His fingers dug into my skin, and his lips were hot, and he pulled away from me. He pulled away, frowning and panting and all around being rather devastating up close. His and his monogrammed what? No, I mumbled, trying to put my face back on his face. No, ignore that. Go back to the whole kissing thing. I really like the kissing thing. You are so good at that. Stop talking and put your mouth in my mouth. I don't know if I can after that. Yes, you can. I believe in you.
And wouldn't bejeweled dildos hurt? Like, those would just... I kissed him. He groaned against my mouth and held on to me just as tightly as I was to him. My magic sang, the green and gold bursting brightly within me. And I knew the moment he felt it because he gasped, mouth open, hot and wet. And there were tongues and teeth and a sense of such great familiarity of being back where I belonged. Because no matter what the Great White said, no matter what he wanted me to believe, Ryan Foxhart was my cornerstone. I'd proven to GW that I could stand on my own. I'd done what he'd asked of me. But he couldn't understand that while I believed in myself, while I could stand on my own, I didn't have to. I had people who would hold me up should I begin to stumble. I had Gary, and Tiggy, and Kevin. I had Justin, and the King. I had my parents. I had Randall, wherever he was. I had the memories of Morgan. Something that would never be taken from me. And I had Ryan Foxhart. My heart was lightning struck. And he held it in his hands as if it were something miraculous. Something precious. Even after all this time, after everything I'd done, the Great White didn't understand that. And I didn't think he ever would. But it wasn't my job to convince him otherwise. I'd gone to the forest as an apprentice, and I'd found something unexpected. Myself. Now I'd returned as a wizard. And I was going to, oh my god. I groaned as Ryan began to gnaw on my neck, sucking a mark. I'm going to fucking destroy you. I really hope you don't like walking straight, because by the time I'm done with you, people are going to think one of your legs is shorter than the other. You're going to be walking in circles. In fact, I'm going to fuck you cross-eyed too, you son of a bitch. So I hope you're okay with just being an all-around mess. I'm still mad at you. He growled against my throat. Really pissed off. Totally fine, dude. Angry sex is awesome. Like pressing up against the wall, and wow, that is your dick right on my thigh. I'm going to be honest, it's been a super long time, so this is probably going to last about another 26 seconds. I'm not even embarrassed right now. I don't care, he muttered, grinding his hips against mine. Fucking come in your trousers if you need to. I'll just look it up when you're done. That's fucking dirty. I approve so much. You don't even know. And then came a knock at the door. Ignore it, I said, gripping Ryan's dick through the wool and trying to jerk him off. The awkward angle pulled against my wrist, but I was pretty damn good at awkward, so I figured I could make it work. It's probably nothing important, a salesman or something.
I told you guys you had an hour.
A voice bellowed through the door. That's probably nothing, too. I said as Ryan groaned while I stroked him, squeezing him tight. I don't, that's even really Justin. Sounds like an impersonator.
I command you, as the Prince of Rhenia, to not be having sex right now. Get your asses out here. Don't make me come in there and see something I don't want to see, especially if it's Sam in any state of undress.
He loves me, I told Ryan as his hip snapped against my hand. Did you guys sit around a fire and tell stories about how much you miss me and how empty your lives were without me? Ryan's eyes were glazed over as he pressed his forehead against mine. I gave a practice twist of my wrist, and Ryan came with a drawn-out moan, warmth spreading underneath my hand.